This is 1A. I'm Sarah McCammon. Hayley Williams has been the frontwoman for the pop-punk band Paramore since she was 15 years old, more than half her life. Williams founded the group along with two high school friends, brothers Josh and Zach Farrow. From their start in Franklin, Tennessee, Paramore has gone on to release 5 albums, numerous worldwide tours, and snagged a Grammy win for Best Rock Song in 2015. And now the band is on hiatus, and Hayley is breaking a promise she made 6 years ago to never go solo. So what's changed? Well, here to answer that for us is Hayley Williams. Her debut solo album, Petals for Armor, comes out on May 8th. Welcome to 1A, Hayley.
Thank you. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's so good to have you with us. So as you probably know, I'm referencing here a 2014 interview with Radio.com where you said that Paramore, the band, will always be your first priority. What influenced your decision to go solo now?
Well, we decided as we were wrapping up our last album, After Laughter, that we just needed some time. We've been playing music together since we were 12 and 13 years old. We're all like 30 now. So it just felt right. And we kind of wanted to stop while we were ahead. And when I started to write during our off time, I kind of just realized that I was writing more than journal entries. And I was creating something, and it really was a form of therapy for me. I mean, writing has always been, but this time around, it felt really necessary for healing. And I didn't really want to put it on the guys, you know. It felt right to own these stories outright and just kind of present them as a moment in my life, you know, that I will certainly move through, but I'm learning a lot from. And I think I'm ready. I mean, I guess I don't prefer it to Paramore by any means, but I'm ready to challenge myself to this.
Yeah, I mean, was there something that made you go, I need more of this time to reflect, to think, to do my own thing?
Yeah, I was actually, I should have known this for years before, but I was diagnosed with depression and PTSD at the end of 2018. And that was when we came off the road from After Laughter, and we had already decided to take a break and just kind of hang as friends and not really, you know, just find our identities outside of the band. And I ended up in a sort of a treatment therapy retreat that lasted about 4 days. And that's where I was diagnosed with PTSD. And I just realized that I needed to do a lot more work on myself than I thought. I feel like I'm pretty self-aware. But, you know, after getting divorced a couple of years ago and going through just some serious major life overhauls, it was time to slow down and really understand what I'd been through and how it had impacted me, you know. And part of the therapy was just to create and to write and release. It felt like this was the only time to do it.
And Hayley Williams, I want to hear a little bit of music from your first solo album. The first single you released from this album was called Simmer. We're going to hear some of that now.
Rage is a quiet thing. You think that you tamed it, but it's just lying in wait. Rage.
Hayley Williams, the first word of this song in Simmer is rage. It's an interesting place to start. Why did you start there?
Well, I think that anger is a very easily accessible emotion. I think a lot of times it's covering up things that are harder to get to. And for me, the entirety of this record is, I think, me digging through old files on myself, you know, trying to understand different traumas that might be, you know, generational stuff that my family and specifically the women in my family went through, and how that impacted my choices in my life. And I mean, Paramore was always an angsty band. We were always writing about things that were very personal and, you know, confusing or frustrating. But
as I've gotten older, I think learning new ways to express anger has been helpful for me, and also understanding what my anger is actually telling me and what it's pointing to. That's been really crucial for my healing. And rage was the beginning of all of this for me, this journey that I took to make this album and experience some emotions that I had locked away in maybe just the basement of my psyche. I really needed to start here. And I also found it a lot more fun to present it this way too, because it allowed a bit more mystique at the top of you know, presenting this album to people, the way that I was able to make this video and have things feel a bit dark and shrouded in mystery. It all of it kind of worked, but this was one of the first songs that I finished for the album, and I think that that's because anger was at the top of the well of all my feelings.
Yeah, you talk about digging through old files from your life, and I think we all, as we get older, right, understand things from the past in different ways and new ways, and there's a huge difference between a 15-year-old when you started out in Paramore and somebody in their early 30s. How do you think you've evolved as an artist and as a songwriter over those years?
Oh, man. I feel more willing to talk about the things that I had hidden away. You know, there's quite a few songs on this record that were really, really hard to decide to release. One came out yesterday. It's called Dead Horse, and it kind of, man, it really describes the shame that I lived with for, you know, a good decade of my life that was all about, you know, an affair that I got into as a teenager, with someone who was married. And I really, you know, that was the first major mistake that I made in my life. And if you had told 19-year-old me that I would be talking about this on a live radio program one day, I would have thrown up and jumped out a window. But it feels necessary to my personal growth. And, you know, like I said before, everything that I've ever written for Paramore and otherwise has always been autobiographical and fairly transparent. But I think my capacity and the courage that I feel to move forward into transparency is just different than it was before. And I'm willing to own up to the things that held me back before. And you know, maybe offering it in a song is, you know, not only a way for me to flush it out of my system, but hopefully reach out to other people that are carrying shame too. You know, I mean, it helps me feel less alone.
You mentioned that song Dead Horse that just came out. I want to hear a little bit of that now.
Every morning I wake up from a dream of you holding me. Underwater, is that a dream or a memory? Held my breath for a decade. Dyed my hair blue to match my lips. Cool of me to try. Pretty cool, I'm still alive. Oh. I beat it like a dead horse.
That's Dead Horse by Hayley Williams. And I want to get back to that song. I believe I read it was about your divorce, which you just mentioned. Was it hard to write?
Oh, yeah, it was really hard to write. It was actually one of the harder ones to come to terms with, because I didn't realize I was going to ever be willing to talk about this stuff. But I also was scared of the sound of it as well. It has... many of the influences for Dead Horse are similar to the influences that Paramore were drawing from with After Laughter. So in a lot of ways, it was a return to form for me. But for this project, you know, and the songs that I had written prior to Dead Horse, it felt like a complete left turn. And it was much, I mean, I would say the simplest way to put it, it's much poppier than like Simmer or Leave It Alone, which came out a month or two before. I was nervous about all of it. I was nervous to release the story. I was nervous for people to think, oh, here she is, like, putting out her hollaback girl. You know, like, I think I spent so long telling myself I'm never going to do anything by myself that when it finally came time to do it and it felt right in my gut, you know, anything that happened, any new feeling or any jolt that I got from the writing process was just new territory for me and scary. But I mean, I'm happy I did it. I don't regret it now that it's done.
Yeah, I wonder what that transition has been like overall, you know, to being in the studio alone, writing alone. Is it different than what you're used to?
Well, I want to be clear that I mean, this is a solo album, and my friends, my bandmates were really encouraging and kind of pushed me to own this, where I can typically feel a lot of self-doubt and I can feel a bit of guilt about trying to own anything outright. I don't feel like I operate at my best capacity when I'm all alone. I like collaboration. So even though the album, you know, says Hayley Williams on it, I was able to make this project with most of my closest friends, including some of my bandmates. Taylor, who has been my main songwriting partner off and on since I was 12 or 13 years old, like, he produced this album for me, and he was really scared to take this project on because he's only co-produced the last two Paramore records. He didn't, you know, he'd never had experience being the guy at the helm, you know, all by himself. But, you know, the writing process was really collaborative. And I think the only difference for me was that I kind of, instead of top lining a lot of the songs, which basically just means I, you know, with Paramore, a lot of times I'm writing to music that's, you know, either finished or it's close to being finished. It's very, you know, I know like the Smiths did that a lot, and I've always really enjoyed that. But Petals for Armor, a lot of the songs were started with just me, you know, either on the drums or on a bass or even just with my mouth. Like Simmer was all mouth sounds and breathing and, you know, beatboxing and, you know, things I never would have thought I would have done. So it helped me to find a more musical part of myself. I got to play more instruments than normal. You know, with Paramore, I don't feel the pull to do that as much because I'm in a band with two vastly talented musicians, and I get to sort of, there's like a cushion around me where I can really go far with my parts vocally. But I don't know, I guess up until around After Laughter, I was never as interested in like designing sounds or, you know, doing stuff on a synth or whatever. But this project was really cool for me to stretch those, you know, muscles and learn new things that I'd never bothered to learn before.
We're talking with singer-songwriter Hayley Williams, best known for the band Paramore, but she's talking to us about her solo debut album, Petals for Armor, which is coming out early next month. Hayley, we were talking a minute ago about Dead Horse, the song you wrote about your divorce. You talked a little bit about how hard that was to write. And I want to read you a comment from one of our listeners. Gracie emailed us to say thank you for the thoughtful and inclusive lyrics. It's crazy to realize we're all facing the same battles. Do you hear messages like this a lot from your fans?
Oh, thankfully, yes. The internet can be so divisive, but I do find that more often than not, I get really incredible feedback from people, and it's very transparent or just open, you know, people offering up parts of themselves because I offered a part of myself. And that's really the exchange that I want. That's what I love about music in general. Just as a fan, I love to hear stories. And so now sharing stories, just hopefully, you know, it's an opportunity for other people to share back. And yeah, I hear comments like that, you know, almost daily. Depends on how much I want to get into my comment section, which can be sometimes a bit tumultuous.
Another listener, Sierra, tweeted, "How do you balance being vulnerable while also keeping your private life private?" And I wonder about this. I mean, it seems like in a way, in our culture, especially when it comes to things like music, there's almost like a currency in vulnerability. You almost, I don't know if you feel that way, like you have to put yourself out there. How natural is that for you versus how much are you doing that? Because that's what songwriters have to do. That's your material.
That's a really good question. Paramore, we started touring and releasing music at it felt like the very beginning of what we now know as the internet. Like, you know, obviously people were getting onto websites and forums and stuff before Paramore, you know, formed. But by the time we were out there, MySpace was a thing, and we were putting our music on Pure Volume, and we were, we were kind of like meeting people just in this virtual space. Like, I'll never forget getting one of our first MySpace messages from Brazil, and then another one from Australia, and being like, how do these people have our music? It was still so new to us that someone would have access to us from that far away. And in a lot of ways, we were able to grow up and, experience the growth of social media at the same time. So it never felt like too much too fast. I mean, I guess now things grow at such a rate, it's kind of hard to keep up. But, we were at the forefront of each social platform, and we were trying to offer up connection or accessibility to our music in one way or another. And you're right, like now in 2020, it is a currency, and there are days that I feel very grossed out by that, and I feel exploited, and I also feel like I'm exploiting myself. But I just often check in with myself, like what feels right, what feels wrong, and where, where's the line? Sometimes that line is blurry and elusive. Other days it's a very hard line, and I'll just kind of delete all the apps off my phone, and I'll tell, to keep accountability, I will like tweet out, I'm taking a break. Like I'm going away so that then I can't come back 5 minutes later without a kid calling me out for it. I guess.
Have you ever done that thing where you delete the app and then download it again 10 minutes later?
Yeah. Which is so silly, but I have done it. I mean, people do need to realize, though, that I think even artists who are trying to tell their stories in the most genuine or the most transparent of ways, it's still not the full scope of what we're all going through,
For sure. Everyone's... And Haley, we're going to come back to you in just a second. That's singer-songwriter sure. Haley Williams. She's talking to us about her solo debut, Petals for Armor. Coming up, we'll get to more of your questions and more from Haley. We'll be back in a moment. This is 1A.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as isolation, depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment when you need professional help. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Visit betterhelp.com/1A to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Do you talk about the news with your friends, your family, or perfect strangers? Get the facts you need to be up to speed on this busy news cycle on the 1A News Roundup. Find the podcast in your feed every Friday.
We live in a culture that prizes action. But now, former Surgeon General Vivek Murthy says it's important to make space to just be.
Simply spending 5 minutes just listening to the birds chirping or to the conversation around you.
Solitude and Ways to Overcome Loneliness on the next Hidden Brain from NPR.
This is 1A. We're talking to Paramore lead singer Haley Williams about her first solo album, Petals for Armor. Haley, you mentioned exploring different sounds with this new album. You mentioned beatboxing and synth. How did you decide to sort of break out of your old sound and where you wanted to go with the new sound?
Paramore has always kind of followed our whims. I mean, we've changed a lot from the last album, even already. I mean, I can tell just by what we're all listening to. If you listen to our debut album, it has nothing to do with where we ended up. And I think that's just been really crucial for us as artists to do what we feel in the moment. And that's the same thing that I did with this record. I'm a massive Bjork fan. I'm a massive Radiohead fan. And other artists like Solange or Sade kind of came into play when I was making this as well. And I don't know, I guess it just felt like this is just how it was coming out of me. And I was able to mess around with equipment and gear that we had laying around in Taylor's studio that I just never really spent a lot of time with. It was good. It was good experimenting for me.
Haley Williams, a lot of your fans, of course, know you from your time with Paramore. We heard from Catherine, who says, I saw Paramore in 2009 on their tour with No Doubt. Haley Williams was so important to me as a preteen and teen, and I always admired how many shades of red hair she tried. Thanks, Haley, for sharing your art with us over the years, she says.
Amazing. That's sick.
What color is your hair these days, can I ask?
Oh, it's very natural. I bleached my hair out before After Laughter because I just was in a massive depression, and I was kind of tired of looking like, I don't know, maybe like the cartoon version of the Paramore singer everyone knew. So it's been blonde for a while, but right now it's basically like quarantine roots.
I feel ya on that. So how would you describe the difference, though, between both in terms of subject matter and lyrics, between a Hayley Williams song and a Paramore song?
I'm still trying to figure that out because, like I said before, I've always written from a place of personal experience and kind of where my emotions are sitting inside of me. I just think it's about the capacity to open up, and it's changing and it's shifting as I get older. My priorities are different. You know, what I feel is important to express is very different than it was before. So in a lot of ways, I wasn't trying to, you know, oh, this is going to be my own record, so everything's going to feel different, and I'm going to write these stories that, you know, that I would never say on a Paramore record. Like, I kind of wonder where we'll go next with another Paramore album. I feel like the lessons I've learned from opening up here, I'll take into what we do next as a band, and hopefully just figure out more ways to open up and be, you know, honest about where I'm at.
Is Paramore still together? Or is there going to be more Paramore music down the road?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Paramore, we've tried to kill Paramore so many different times, and it's not dying. We're like a cockroach. We can't go away. And the three of us talk very often and connect about Paramore and other things too. It was just the right time to take a moment, you know, for ourselves as friends and as individuals. Like, Zach's producing his own records and putting out projects on for Half Noise, which is his solo project. Taylor's producing, you know, he produced my record, and he's producing stuff for other friends in Nashville. This is just our moment to spread our wings a little bit. But when we come back together, you know, we'll do it when it feels absolutely right and when we're inspired.
And this is obviously a time for everybody of not coming together because of the coronavirus pandemic. You mentioned your quarantine roots that so many of us can relate to, quarantine nails. It's a first world problem, but I think a lot of us are there. One thing you have done during this pandemic to maybe try to brighten your fans' days a little bit is to make a workout video, which features a song from your album. And its title kind of feels like a reference to a question we're all asking ourselves right now. It's called Over Yet. And here's a clip.
Are you ready to get in shape? Here's a 3-minute and 53-second workout for your busy day. Here's an exercise routine so short that you don't even need to put your hair up in a ponytail.
I forgot it. Oh yeah, I do know it.
Punch!
If there's resistance, if there's resistance, it makes you stronger. It's not the end. If there's resistance, if there's resistance, it makes you stronger. Make it your friend.
So this is mostly a dance video, and it's definitely a song you want to dance to, but Hayley Williams, what spurred the decision to make this video?
I was inspired by, oh man, it's so weird what we're going through right now, because I wrote this song with a couple of friends a year ago, and I when I realized what the lyrics were, it felt so positive that it kind of turned me off, and the only way that I was able to finish it was to sort of create this elaborate fantasy in my head of myself as an aerobics instructor in a dystopian society, like a post-apocalyptic setting, and you know, I'm super positive, and then midway through the song, like, my skin falls off and I'm a robot. You know, like, that's kind of the dark sense of humor that went into making this song and trying to encourage myself to keep moving. And so when all of this
happened... By envisioning yourself as a skinless robot, okay.
yeah, exactly. When all this happened, I just thought, why don't we just make that? Why don't we just do that? Why don't we work out together? And I don't know, I was kind of making fun of myself, but it's been so cool that people are actually into it.
So you started writing this well before the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. I started writing Petals for Armor in early 2019.
But I mean the song Over Yet, because I mean that's kind of what we're all asking ourselves, right? Is this over yet? When is this going to be over? It feels very apt.
Yeah. Music is weirdly prophetic that way. I find a lot of songs, even songs that are by other artists that I really love, I'm just like, oof, did they know that this was going to happen?
So on that note, Contessa tweets, are you disappointed that this situation has happened while you are in the midst of releasing an album and preparing to tour? Or are you finding that releasing it during this time is meaningful because it gives fans hope and something to look forward to?
Oh, I feel both of those things. And, you know, every day is a little bit different. I spent the first 2 weeks when we kind of figured out what was happening, just kind of shocked and grieving a little bit because we had such a plan in place. And I worked with my best friend, Lindsay, who's the creative director, to just to really give a lot of content and direct this the way that we wanted to see it go. But I guess I can't really complain because, look, I have a home and a dog and I'm able to work. So I'm just trying to make the best of it and definitely have bad days, but it's been good for me because it gives me purpose and it gives me a way to connect to people.
Okay, speaking of your dog, Haley, we have gotten a ton of tweets asking about your dog, Alf, I think.
Yeah.
Update us. How's he doing?
He's sitting right next to me right now. He does not know that there's a global pandemic. He's just happy as a clam. And he gets far more treats because his mom is home all day and just can't help herself.
What a good boy. He's being so quiet.
He is. I've been a little nervous because he likes to bark at birds and squirrels in the yard, and he's just been chilling.
Let me tell you right now, every NPR host, correspondent, reporter that is currently broadcasting from our homes, and full disclosure, I'm not at my home, but I'm socially distanced right now. But we all have the same worry about our dogs and our kids and traffic noises. So you're in good company there.
Okay.
I want to ask you another question about coronavirus. Haley Williams, your home state of Tennessee is one of those that's expecting to reopen soon at the end of this week. As a Tennessee resident, I wonder how you feel about that decision.
I don't feel good about it. It scares me. I think that, you know, Nashville's not a small town anymore, but in a lot of ways we act as a small town and a small community. We just, I know a lot of business owners are chomping at the bit to get back because before this pandemic hit, we had a terrible tornado rip through the city and really messed with a lot of local business. A lot of friends of mine who own spots in the city are just, they're done, you know? And I think everyone's been waiting for things to go back to normal for far longer than we've all been quarantining, but it just scares me. You know, I think I certainly will not be out and about shopping or sitting at a coffee shop. And trust me, I miss going and picking up a bougie-ass latte from somewhere. Like, I miss that. That is a first-world problem for me. That, I mean, like, I'm at home learning how to whisk my matcha latte for myself. But I just don't feel good about it. I think we're putting far too many people at risk. I have grandparents in their 70s. I have a nana in her 80s who's in a nursing home right now. I mean, there's just, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't feel safe to me, and I wish that it was going to be a little bit longer before the government would allow this to, you know, the city to reopen.
And I want to go to some of our other listener comments here. Beth tweets, will you make another solo album in the future, or is Paramore going to be your priority after this?
Paramore still feels like my priority, and I know that probably from an outsider's perspective might sound silly. But I've said this before in other interviews, I certainly don't prefer this, like now that I'm doing press and everything, I don't prefer to be by myself. I really enjoy Paramore, and the way that the band came together for the last album only made me more excited for what's to come with the band. This just is what feels right now, you know, and, a lot of bands and artists that I really look up to, they're similar, you know, The Strokes, Julian Casablancas has put out his own stuff a couple of times, and other members of the band have done their own things. Radiohead's the same way. This just feels like something that was accessible to me as an individual, and I guess there's no plans for future solo material. Like, this feels like a beautiful gem that's in a crown that Paramore's created. You know what I mean? This feels just like a part of it that right now is necessary.
It's interesting that it's happening at this time of so much isolation. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
How are you dealing with that?
Today doesn't seem so bad, but you know, today I'm working a lot. Today I had to do a conference call before this interview, and after this, I'll have to do one more like Skype interview. And so it keeps me busy. Some days I keep a morning routine flawlessly. Other days I'm terrible and I just feel like a lazy slob. But, you know, knowing that I'm not actually alone in the struggle is very helpful. I can call up a friend, or I can, you know, I don't know, get online and look at stupid memes. There's enough comfort from that for me to make me realize that, you know, that it's going to be all right. I just, you know, I take it a day at a time.
We have to take a quick break, but we'll have more with Hayley Williams of Paramore right after this. This is 1A.
Hey, it's Guy Raz from NPR's How I Built This, and each week on the show during this unprecedented crisis, I'll be asking some of the top founders and builders how they're dealing with the economic impact of the coronavirus and hear about some of the ways they're pivoting to fight it. Subscribe or listen now to How I Built This.
This is 1A. We've been talking with Hayley Williams about her music, about Paramore, and her new album, Petals for Armor. And Hayley, we've heard from so many listeners who've told us they find your music relatable. Kazi emailed to ask what message you have for women going through similar experiences to yours that are described in this album.
I would say listen to your body, because your body doesn't lie. It's the animal part of us, you know, that has many instincts and receptors. And I think that just the way modern society works and our culture, we are very cut off from our animal bodies. And not to sound too woo-woo or anything, but I really didn't listen to myself for a long time. I got gut feelings about things. I got sick multiple times. And there were just a lot of signs that there wasn't much congruence within me, you know, between my head, my heart, and my body. So I feel like to listen to those instincts, especially, like, you know, they call it a female instinct for a reason. I do think that we're equipped with tools that allow us to detect when something's off. And, you know, I rely on that a lot more now as a 31-year-old than I ever did.
Really quickly, why do you think that's so hard to do, though?
I just think that everything in our culture is opposite, you know, and we're always on the move and we're always connected to other, you know, but strangely, it's still a very selfish sort of society. I think that there's a difference between quieting down and being connected within, and then just being constantly connected and like putting your shit all over the place. Like, I struggle with that because of my job, you know. My job is to connect. My job is to be out there. But I have to find moments in my day that are quiet, that are still, and that it's nothing. It's not technology. It's nothing but my body, my surroundings, you know, at home.
Yeah.
It's very real and very earthy. And I don't know how else to explain it, because I think it's going to be people's experiences are going to differ.
Right. We're going to have to leave it there in this time of quiet for so many of us. Hayley Williams, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
She's the lead singer of the pop punk group Paramore, and her debut solo album, Petals for Armor, is due out May 8th. Before we go, time for another act of kindness. We've been sharing stories from listeners across the country about acts of kindness during this time. Today's story comes from Susan, who wanted to tell us about her granddaughter, Maya.
Her parents and grandparents were all experiencing stay-at-home blues one night. She looked around, smiled, and vanished from sight. 20 minutes later, she ordered all of us to put down our tablets and phones, turn off the television, and join her and the lanai for a homemade obstacle course, going around a table, kicking a ball, various things. We joined at her insistence, but in no time at all, we were laughing, competing, and cheering each other on. Thank you very much, Maya, for all your work and for reminding us of what really matters.
Thank you, Susan. If you have a story to share, you can call us at 855-236-1212. This conversation was produced by Arfi Getty and edited by Matthew Simonson. To learn more about them and the rest of the team, visit our website at the1a.org. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Sarah McCammon. Thank you so much for listening. This is 1A.